looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, MGM Springfield, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We have some depth in the bullpen. It's one area. We have some guys coming back. Tyler Thornburg's very close to coming back. I don't know the exact date he'll be back. Austin Maddox continues to make progress coming back. We just got Steven Wright. We don't think Hector Velasquez will be out very long. So we have some depth in that area. But you know, Carson Smith's a good pitcher, and you never like to lose somebody like him by any means.
That's Dave Dombrowski a little over a month ago talking about the Red Sox bullpen and the Carson Smith injury. And remember, we all thought the Red Sox had a suspect bullpen then. We thought they had a suspect bullpen before the Carson Smith injury, let alone after, and Smith is done for the year. Nonetheless, the reason I bring all that up now, the dominoes are starting to fall in the MLB trade deadline. The dominoes are starting to fall. And the first one was a big one. And so before I get to the particulars, let me ask you this. As a Red Sox follower, what do you want them to do with the deadline? What do you want them to do? What do you deem to be the greatest need for this team, and what do you want them to do between now and July 31st? Because, again, the championship, or a championship, is the objective. That's the goal. We all know they've won two divisions in a row. We all know they've gotten their ass kicked in the playoffs 2 years in a row. So it's how can this team improve beyond J.D. Martinez to make a spirited, legitimate run at a championship? And if you are like me, your answer up to now, and mine still, is bullpen. I want bullpen help. First and foremost, I want someone who can pitch the eighth inning and ideally someone who can close too. So that when Craig Kimbrell isn't available, because if you're going to win 105 games, you're going to have a lot of nights where Craig Kimbrell's unavailable, and you need someone else to close the game. So I want a good setup man that can also close. Someone that John Farrell might call a closer B, Jim Murray, right? Just like last year. That's the kind of guy I want.
Closer B.
Which brings me to this, and the story that broke last night in Major League Baseball, because when I saw this, I immediately thought of the Red Sox. Okay, and I am now reading to you from a report on ESPN.com. But I think the initial story was broken by Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, who will actually join us a little bit later in the program. Okay, Passan's covered Major League Baseball for a long time, and I want to get his sense on whether the Red Sox were in on this relief pitcher who was traded last night, and I'm talking about Kelvin Herrera, or whether or not they will be able to really make a legitimate run at a deal this postseason, or this for the postseason, given the shortage of talent they have in their minor league system. Okay, now you've heard me talking about this a lot lately. Now's where it's going to show up. It's one thing to have depth on the big league roster. It's another thing to have tradable commodities in the minor leagues that can get you help. Okay, but that being said, ESPN wrote last night, the Washington Nationals have acquired right-hander Kelvin Herrera from the Kansas City Royals for three prospects. The Royals are acquiring outfielder Blake Perkins, third baseman Kelvin Gutierrez, and right-handed pitcher Yohansi Morel for Herrera, one of the most desirable bullpen arms available on the trade market. Okay, now Herrera this year so far, 14 saves, 1.05 ERA, 22 strikeouts, and listen to the next number, two walks. Two walks over 25 and two-thirds innings for a Red Sox staff that has walked more batters in the eighth inning than any other inning of the game. That eighth inning is a problem. This guy throws strikes. Last year, 26 saves. He's pitched as a setup man, as a multiple inning man. He's got good postseason numbers. And if you listen to this program, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I started outlining potential targets for the Red Sox, you know who was number one on my list of relievers? Kelvin Herrera. So why does it feel to me like the Red Sox were never really in the running for this guy? Like they had no shot. And when I look at the list of prospects that the Nationals gave up for Herrera, and again, I'll read to you. Outfielder Blake Perkins, he's an A-ball, I believe. Right-handed pitcher Yohansi Morel. I think that kid's 17. 17. So there's no way to know what the hell he's going to be in 5 years. 17 years old. And third baseman Kelvin Gutierrez, who I looked it up today. Gutierrez, I think, was the number 10 prospect in the national system. He's 22 or 23 years old, and he plays third base. So he really feels like the most significant prospect in the deal, at least in terms of being able to project what a guy is worth. And the closest comp I can come to in the Red Sox system for that guy is Michael Chavis, who's been suspended for 80 days because of PED use. It's actually 80 games, not 80 days. So Chavis is suspended. Jay Groom is hurt and out for the year, and even before that wasn't pitching well. What other tradable commodities did the Red Sox really have down there? And what I'm getting at is this. This trade, this should tell you something. The Nationals did not give up a ton for this guy. They didn't. And if you ask me, it's actually a buyer's market right now because I think the prices are going to be a little lower. And when I say a buyer's market, look at the disparity of talent in the American League. You have only five good teams that right now are pretty much locks to make the playoffs. Those five clubs, everybody else might be selling in 5 weeks. Everybody else might be selling. So the buyers can sit there and wait and say, well, if I'm not getting this guy, I can get that guy. Why? Look at all the options they have. There are going to be a ton of teams selling players here in a little bit. And then the Nationals did not give up much for Herrera. And the thing that's worrisome about that, the Red Sox can't match that deal. The Nationals gave up, I don't want to say nothing, and again, we'll ask for Jeff Passan's assessment of it when he comes on the show here in a little bit. But the Nationals did not give up a ton, and the Red Sox couldn't match it. That should tell you plenty here as we head toward July 31st. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Jack, who's in Rhode Island. And later on in the show, by the way, Trivia Tuesday, too. We'll get to that later. But Jack's in Rhode Island. Jack, what do you got?
Hey, Tone. How you doing, bud?
Good.
Sort of going off of what you were just talking about, I want one or two relievers that don't suck. I don't want to see Brandon Workman out there throwing innings. We need to shore up the back of a bullpen. And sort of going off of what you were just sort of touching on, I don't think we have any bullets in the gun to go get anyone of any significant value right now.
So, Jack, again, see, this is what concerned me about this deal last night. I felt like the whole thing hit us in the face. Dave Dombrowski, if you look at his history, just so if one of you guys could check quickly, Drew Pomeranz, what was the date the Red Sox acquired him from the San Diego Padres?
It was the Friday after the All-Star break, so it would have been like July 15th.
Pomeranz was in July?
It was like July 1st, July 15th, something like that. I thought it was just after the All-Star game that year.
Okay, if we could just double-check the date. I thought it was earlier than Adam Pomeranz.
July 14th, 2016.
Okay, so Jimmy's dead on. But what I do remember about it, if I'm not mistaken, he was like the first domino to fall. Right? So, as is the case now with Herrera. And Dave Dombrowski was on it. Dombrowski was on it. Why? Because the Red Sox had a need? Because he had pieces to trade. And so what does Dombrowski do? He acts quickly. He acts decisively. That is what he has done, or at least he did at the beginning of his tenure as president of baseball operations for the Red Sox. He was decisive on Kimbrel. Do you remember that first off season? Well, we need a closer. We need a right-handed hitting outfielder. Before you could blink an eye, they had Kimbrel and Chris Young. The offseason had barely started, and he had those moves made. Then the trade deadline 2 years ago, before anyone else acted, the Red Sox had Drew Pomeranz.
Maz, 2016, July. Aaron Hill, July 7th. Michael Martinez, July 8th. July 9th, Brad Ziegler. July 14th, Drew Pomeranz. And then Fernando Abad, August 1st.
Okay, so and Abad, and that was the year, I think, where the deadline actually was August 1st. In any case, the point is that Dombrowski acts quickly. Now the best reliever on the trade market is available and he doesn't do it. And you know why he didn't? Because he couldn't. Not because he didn't want to, because he couldn't. because he's traded away everything. And by the way, including the prospect, let me rephrase, the player they just got from the Mariners, remember him? What was his name again? Filia? Was that his name? Sean Filia or something like that? The guy with the 50-game drug suspension? They sent him back to the Mariners. He failed the physical. They don't even have him. They can't trade him. Dombrowski wanted to make this deal. I'm willing to bet he couldn't. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. We'll get Jeff Passan's assessment of it next. He joins us from Yahoo, and we'll continue with your calls as well.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you're on the line, sit tight. I promise we'll get to you here momentarily. But first, in the wake of the Kelvin Herrera trade from the Kansas City Royals to the Washington Nationals, I do want to bring in Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports to talk about the deal, more specifically whether or not he thinks the Red Sox were involved in it. So, Jeff, thanks for joining the show. And
pleasure's mine, Maz. How are you?
Good, thank you. A long time no see. It's been quite a while. So look, let me ask you up front. First of all, were you surprised that a reliever of this quality got moved this early?
No, because I think Kansas City wants to jump the market. I think they're a little worried about the glut of relief pitching, and that if they waited until the last minute, that teams were going to start lowballing them because there are going to be a number of options out there. I don't know if any of the options are going to be quite as good as Kelvin Herrera, but there were going to be enough where I think they felt like getting volume for a farm system that has been depleted in recent years was a big MO for them. And there's not a ton of upside with the two main pieces coming back, but the young kid they got, 17 years old, signed last year, up to 95 with a good slider. They got big projections on him. So this is the kind of trade that's going to work out 4 or 5 years down the road, maybe.
Okay, when you say the young guy with the big arm, is it Morel? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. I'd be lying if I told you, but that's what it looks like, so let's go with it.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's usually, we do it on the fly here too, Jeff. That's the way it goes. So I see the package of prospects they offered, and if I'm right, the pitcher, Morel, is 17 years old, I think he is.
Correct.
Perkins, the outfielder, doesn't sound like much. He's an A-ball player. Gutierrez is in AA. He's a third baseman. And by all accounts, this was not an overwhelming package of prospects. I look at a team like the Red Sox, and I say they have so much invested in this team already. Shouldn't they have been in on a guy like Herrera? So my question to you is, were they, and could they even come close to matching what feels like a modest price?
There were definitely conversations there. I mean, they talked back and forth. I don't think it ever got very far down the road, frankly. And could the Red Sox have been in it? I suppose so. I mean, if you're the Royals, though, you just drafted, your first five draft picks were starting pitchers, right? And they were starting pitchers out of college, so they're guys who have come along a fair amount of way. You don't want to take a chance on Jay Groom, who's coming off Tommy John surgery. You don't want to take a chance with Michael Chavis, who, you know, for all he showed last year, is going to be coming off PED suspension, and you don't know what you're going to get from him. Look, I have a difficult time saying that the Royals got a modest package back, simply because there is so much out there analytically these days that teams know that is not in the public sphere in terms of defense particularly, and Blake Perkins is a switch-hitting fast center fielder, and Gutierrez is the kid they got at third base. As a former shortstop who apparently has a very good glove there. And Kansas City won its championship with defense. So I think that the Royals were going for that more than anything. And I don't know that the Red Sox have the prospects, honestly, to match up and put the package together that the Nationals did. And that says something about the Red Sox farm system, too. It's in bad shape, and I think everyone who's listening and yourself know that.
Okay, so Jeff, now you're singing my song. And this was sort of my point, is that, now look, again, all the reports I read with regard to what the Royals gave up, or rather what the Nationals gave up and what the Royals wanted, were that they were trusting their scouts, right? That they see they weren't necessarily highly touted prospects, but the Royals saw something in these players and wanted them, and they got them. But my point is, I've seen more overwhelming packages for players. We all have.
No question. No question. I mean, we saw, you know, Aroldis Chapman got Gleyber Torres, and Andrew Miller when he got traded to the Baltimore Orioles, got Eduardo Rodriguez, and Andrew Miller, when he was traded to the Cleveland Indians, got Justus Sheffield and Clint Frazier. There have been big packages for guys. I don't think, though, that Kelvin Herrera is quite in that class, even though he's having a great year this year. His stuff's ticked down a little bit. It would be tough, I think, to assume that Kelvin Herrera was going to get a top 100-type prospect back.
Okay, and so this is my point, though, and this is what I'm getting at, because my real interest in this, Jeff, is the Red Sox farm system, is that there wasn't a top 100 prospect in it, in this deal, and the Red Sox still couldn't make it because they didn't have the artillery down there to make the deal. So
100% true.
Okay, so and this is what I'm getting at, is, look, you talk to a lot of people around baseball. You certainly do it a hell of a lot more than I do now. So my question to you is, around the game, what is the opinion and perception of the Red Sox player development operation?
Player development, it's tough to say because they have gone out and dealt a number of prospects. And I think that's the Dave Dombrowski way. He did this in Detroit. He did this in Miami. I mean, that's his style. He's a guy who tries to go for broke and will mortgage a farm system to do so. Could they have included someone like Brian Mata? I think he would have been a good headliner in the package. I think he's probably one of the more underappreciated prospects in the Red Sox organization. But was that going to be enough? And did they have the depth? That was the question. And the answer is no. I think if you ask people around the game who look at farm systems, the Red Sox are probably a bottom five system these days.
Well, so look, I think Baseball America had them 24th in the most recent, in the organizational talent rankings that they put out before the year, which to me is always a pretty good measure. But I just feel like they've really cornered themselves here, Jeff. They backed themselves into a very small window. Pomeranz is not a franchise-altering talent, but he's up at the end of the year. Kimbrel's up at the end of the year. Next season, Porcello's contract is up. Chris Sale's contract is up. Xander Bogaerts' contract is up. So they have all these guys coming up for big deals now, or rather, expiring deals in the next couple of years. They have no prospects to deal, and they don't want to go over the $237 million luxury tax threshold, or at least I think they don't. How are they going to add talent?
I think you answered your own question, Maz. I mean, it's going to be a really difficult needle for them to thread at this point. Because if you're talking about an impact reliever, and look, depending on what happens when Tyler Thornburg comes back, he's been up to 95, 96 in his rehab outings. He also hasn't pitched since 2016. If you get even a decent facsimile of what Tyler Thornburg was in his last year as a Milwaukee Brewer, all of a sudden some of these bullpen worries aren't worries as much anymore, because you've still got Kimbrel, you've still got Kelly, you've still got Workman, you've got guys who have been productive this season. But, and this is a big but, it's going to be a really, really difficult American League playoff field. You got to beat the Yankees. You got to beat the Astros. It's as simple as that. You're going to have to beat both of those teams if you want to get to the World Series. And right now, frankly, I think those are two superior teams to the Boston Red Sox.
Okay, again, you're singing my song. I've said the same thing. And the guys you mentioned, Barnes, Kelly, even Carson Smith when he was here, I don't trust any of those guys in the eighth inning, Jeff. In New York, in Houston, I don't trust any of those guys in the eighth inning.
I get it, man. And the perfect, and I mean perfect person for the Red Sox to go after would be Zach Britton. But all the other teams that want Zach Britton, A, have better prospects than the Red Sox, and B, have some room to move in terms of salary. Zach Britton's making a lot of money this year, and if the Red Sox go out and get him, if they wanted to get him and have the Orioles pay down some of that salary, that is certainly possible, but you can do that only when you have better prospects to get back. And that's going to be a difficult thing for them to do because they just don't have that prospect cash that some other teams do.
Okay, just quickly before we let you go, and I want to mention your podcast too, which we'll do here in 1 second. But the looking at the AL field right now, the five playoff teams look set. I mean, really, it's embarrassing how one sided or top heavy rather the American League is this year. 1 through 5, the playoff teams in the American League. Give me your power rankings.
I'm going Houston 1 right now, and it's not just because they've won 11 straight games. They have the talent to back it up. They have the pedigree. They have the experience. And, oh, by the way, they're the defending champions. I got the Yankees at 2, Red Sox at 3, but that's with an asterisk. Because if you're going into a playoff series against the Cleveland Indians, and they're trotting out Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, and Mike Clevenger, that's a hell of a starting rotation to bring out in the playoffs. Now, the Indians have problems of their own. Their bullpen situation is way, way worse than the Red Sox can imagine right now. So the Indians do have some issues, but I'd say Red Sox 3, Indians 4, and Mariners a pretty distant 5, despite the fact that they're 46-26 and have played really good baseball.
Yeah, really. The most surprising team in the league to me, if you ask me, is the Mariners. So you have begun a podcast now as well, right? The Yahoo Sports MLB podcast, which I think you do in tandem with Tim Brown.
Doing it with Tim Brown and Mike Oz, my colleague at Yahoo Sports. And we got Alex Bregman coming on this week and saying that the Astros are the team to beat in baseball and the best team, and that they haven't even started playing well yet, which is saying something considering that they've won 11 straight games right now.
Okay, and that is every Tuesday you guys put up a new podcast, is that right?
Every Tuesday, you know, we've had Mike Trout, we've had Clayton Kershaw. Hopefully the Red Sox, I can catch up with them soon because there are some fascinating characters on that team, and would love to pick the minds of quite a few of them.
And it's available in all the usual places like iTunes, for example.
Absolutely. Apple Podcasts. You can get it on Stitcher if you have a Google phone. So it is available to everyone. It is free, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Listen, Jeff, thanks a lot. All right, I know you're busy. I've done it, and so I appreciate the time, and we look forward to having you on again in the future.
Pleasure is always mine, man. It's great talking with you, buddy.
Okay, you too, Jeff. We'll see you later. Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, to me, one of the few guys in baseball, really, that's not afraid to get his hands dirty, right? Passan will go and go to places that other people don't want to go. Like some of the scandals with the Red Sox in those past years, you remember? He was one of the guys disclosing details. And Passan's a good baseball guy. He knows the game. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. I see a number you lined up. Murray's got your headlines, and then we'll get to you.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, again, our thanks to Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. We're going to get to your calls here right away, and then we'll do Tuesday Night Trivia. Trivia Tuesday. First, we'll get to your calls. Again, 617-779-0985. And I just ask you to be as concise as possible so we can get to as many of you as possible in this segment. Mark is in South Boston. Go, Mark.
Tony, how are you?
Good.
Tony, who would you rather have? Manuel Margot, Michael Shopek, Victor Diaz, or Mancata, or Craig Kimbrell and Chris Sale?
Kimbrell and Sale.
So when they traded all those top prospects, when they were the number one farm system in baseball in 2016, when they made those, that's why you're number one. Now, when you win two divisions in a row and you're a first place team, you can't trade Jackie Bradley Jr. in October to rebuild your farm system. I'm telling you, this team right now can go out and spend the money. We have four guys last year on this team.
So, Mark, listen. I understand your point. You'd rather have the veteran. I don't have an issue with trading for good players. I don't. Have they replaced those minor leaguers?
No, you can't, because they came in first place 2 years in a row. You can't trade off Jackie Bradley Jr. in October, because when you have four guys last year in your starting lineup, one of your four best hitters that weren't old enough to rent an automobile. They were 24 and under, 20 to 24 years old. Mookie Betts, an MVP. Now, we're talking like these guys.
Mark, how have they drafted?
They didn't draft too well.
They've drafted poorly, and so this is my point. And the other thing is, who would you rather have, Travis Shaw or Tyler Thornburg? So, again, not every trade Dombrowski made was a good one. Not every trade he made was a good one. So, I'm okay trading prospects for veteran talent. I'm okay for that when you're going for a championship. Fine, no problem. They haven't won a championship yet, and they have not replenished their minor league system. That's where the mistake is. Let's go to my buddy Angelo, who's in Methuen. Go ahead, Angelo.
Yeah, Tony.
Yes, Angelo.
Bogey ain't doing too bad this year, huh?
No, he's playing well.
Now, I heard you earlier when you were on the phone with another about... In this Bogey's last year, I mean, as far as the contract is concerned.
So, Angelo, no, Bogaerts has one more year, and I'm going to let you go. Bogaerts is not a problem right now. In fact, I think Bogaerts is one of the keys to your season. If you're going to win it all, you're going to need Bogaerts to keep playing like he's playing. I would say the same of Rafael Devers, who's been hot lately. Like, I want to see him go to a level that, you know, where he's playing consistently like he's playing right now. And a third guy, which I think brings us to Jake and Newton. Jake, what do you got?
Hi, I was wondering about David Price. How many years does he have left on his contract?
So Price has, after this year, he has four more years. He can opt out after this season. So, he, in theory, he could be a free agent in November. In theory. I find it unlikely that he would opt out. If he stays in, he's then committed here for four more years. So you will know, we will know this fall whether Price is gone or whether Price is here for four more years. Think of it that way. Like an election. How about that? Nick's in Belmont. Nick, what do you got?
Hey, Matt, so I totally get your overall point looking at the Kelvin Herrera situation. Did the Sox have enough to even get a guy like Kelvin Herrera? I think we all can agree the answer is no. But I think the bigger point, and the point to not, you know, get too fixated on, is that there are a lot more closers right now out in the league that we should be keeping our eyes on, and this is the time to get a deal. And the one guy that I really like, that I'm really hoping that they can try to make a move for, and once again, I don't know what they can get, you know, what they need to give up to get him, is Jared Hughes on the Reds. He's got a 2.7 ERA career, and he's just absolutely killing it. He's 32. That just seems like the ideal type of player to get under the radar, not give up a ton, get the Reds when they're kind of desperate, and it's time to make the deal. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Okay, so look, I don't know a lot about him, but the mere fact that you tell me he's 32. Now, look, this may be like the kind of guy they end up with. A veteran guy who's just having a good year, and maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. I think that's the kind of player you're going to have to trade for. I don't think the Red Sox have the artillery to go get a Kelvin Herrera. They don't. I know they don't. Not think. I know they don't have the artillery to get that kind of player.
What about bringing back who they had last year, who they'll likely see at some point in the next 3 days, in Addison Reed?
Sure. I would do that again. What kind of deal did he end up with? That I don't know.
Oh, that I can't speak to.
So the contract is a factor, too. This is another issue. They don't have a ton of space.
I just know that they suck, and they might want to sell off, you know?
Yeah, so look, I would take a chance on a guy like that. Absolutely, Murray. And the good news is there are so many bad teams, they should have choices. They won't have elite choices, but they'll have choices. Alex is in a car. Quickly, what do you got?
All right. Zach Britton, Machado, and that other pitcher on Baltimore for Devers. This was discussed last week.
Yeah, so Alex, you're not going to get all three of those. You're not going to get all three. And look, there was a report out here in the last couple of days that there isn't a fit, and the Red Sox have said they don't want to give up Devers. Let me squeeze in one more. Julio's in West Roxburgh. Go ahead, Julio.
It's actually Julian. Thank you for taking my call, Tony. I was listening to your show when you mentioned Kelvin Herrera the other day, and I was like licking my chops, like, because I like he was dynamite in the World Series with the Royals. Like, he's Dominican, you know, like I'm Dominican. We want to bring that Dominican flavor back to Boston, like we did in 04 with the three over there. But my question to you is, like, why is the Red Sox farm system so thin? Like, is this like.
Okay, Julio, I got to let you go because the connection is so bad, but it's so thin because they've traded away all their prospects and they haven't replenished them. So they've drafted poorly. They had the number 12 pick, Trey Ball, he stinks. They have the number 12, Trey Ball was the number 7 pick. The number 12 pick, Jay Groom, now needs elbow surgery, or has had elbow surgery. He's out for the rest of the year. He'll probably miss most of next year. And he wasn't pitching well before that. Tanner Houck, first-round pick, he stinks, or has stunk so far in his minor league career. He was at the end of first round. They've missed on first-round picks. There is one potential outlet for them, and that's the international marketplace, which begins on June 1st, July 1st, rather. These are kids in, you know, Venezuela, the Caribbean, all the anywhere other than the continental U.S., those kids are available to be signed, and you can put them into your system. Now, there's a budget on it. You can't overspend teams like you used to. The issue, though, is that those guys typically are young. They're teenagers, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. And those guys take a while to develop. So those you're not getting help there anytime soon either.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5, the Sports Hub.